Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry, we'll voice it for you. It's No Holds Barred Radio, folks. UFC, film, politics, TV, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it, we talk about it. And there's a lot to talk about today. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good, Bruce. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm here with a good friend. Somebody else will announce in a second, but I'm very excited to have one of my favorite fighters, my favorite UFC personalities on the show. None other than the amazing, the wonderful, the UFC champion, Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose. How are you? Hi, honey.
Good. I'm really good.
Very cool. The shirt. Who are we representing today? I can't see.
Oh, you know what's crazy? What does it say? Team Chose. Chose Martial Arts. That's the very first like taekwondo school I started at in Milwaukee. So yeah, it's actually cool because I actually was able to go back before the Whaley rematch. And like, because I was sort of like filming something that's, you know, not done yet, but yeah, I went to talk to them, and it was cool because like everything's pretty much the same since I was there when I was like, when I started, when I was like 5 years old. So they had all like the student creed on the wall and everything like that. It's really, really cool.
Just sort of bring back a lot of memories of, you know, starting out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it was like old school back then too. Like they used to like hit us, you know, not hit us, but like hit us with bamboo sticks, you know, to get our stance lower and stuff and step on our
knees. Really?
Yeah. Like it was crazy, but, you know, nowadays that doesn't go over too well.
No, nowadays you just sue the dojo and they go out of business. Yeah. And they got nowhere to train. Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
And it was always love, you know, tough love. It was good though.
So, you know, when you started in the taekwondo world, how old were you?
I want to say I was like 4 or 5 years old.
And okay, like for instance, I'm second degree black belt in taekwondo, and I studied a lot of different styles, but I got very heavy into that. But then I wanted to go into real fighting. So I got heavily into kickboxing. So when was your transition?
My transition started, let's see, because I switched over to a karate school, but I wouldn't say it was like traditional karate school. They did a bunch of different styles and stuff. And that's where I kind of like got introduced to jujitsu. Mm-hmm. And I think I was a preteen. I was probably, or maybe a like young teenager. I might've been like 13 years old when I actually started like learning the basic positioning of jujitsu. I mean, it was a karate kind of black belt dude teaching it, and he was just watching UFC. So it wasn't like, you know, like, okay, I'm really learning from like a real jujitsu black belt or anything. But I mean, I got the basic, you know, mount positions, all those things, probably when I was around 13 years old. And I think I jumped into a competition without really having much experience around that age as well. And so I would say that's kind of where I started to branch out a little bit at that age. But you know, there was a bunch of different styles. Even at that school, I started like stick fighting a little bit, and that was pretty fun. You know, put on all the gear and stuff and whack each other with sticks. That was pretty cool.
No problem. We used to do that in the park. Just let's do it. And as far as like, you know, I know back in the Tough Series 20, I think was your introduction into UFC.
Yeah.
So before that, did you fight professionally at all in any other organization before you entered the UFC back then?
Yeah, I was, I had 3 fights in Invicta as a professional. So I was 2-1 going into the Ultimate Fighter show.
Hey, Bruce, you need to look at Rose's flying armbar in Invicta. It's probably the sweetest flying armbar in MMA history.
Really?
Yeah. That was my second pro fight.
TJ, were you working Invicta back then?
I was not, but I was watching and I was blown away.
Yeah, that's when Invicta was like I think there was just so much, like, all the talent that was just kind of like spread out. We all just came together at that time. It was pretty cool.
Oh, also two rows. Like, look at that guy.
12 seconds.
Oh, it's Pat Barry. Here we are. God, look at those eyes. Let me see those eyes again. I'm telling you, this is the bad guy in a movie. I don't know why they haven't cast you yet in a film, Pat. I mean, come on.
I'm still waiting for
that. That's right. The call's there. Come on, all the casting directors watching the show today. This is Pat Barry, okay? Yeah. Rose, she can play anything from a top-notch model to a gritty fighter, okay?
He's Pat, definitely better at acting. I'm okay.
he's been acting ever since he stepped in the octagon. Come on. We've been watching that act.
All in act.
on that note, real quick, Rose sort of came to, I think, the casual fans' view and periphery before she even fought in the UFC when she was fighting in Invicta, because you guys did that Harlem Shake parody video, which was amazing. And Pat Barry's like out in the Minnesota tundra shirtless. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much like stupid video content.
It was cool. Like that was the era though, Rose. You talk about Invicta back then, like all the athletes were doing things to make people really care. I don't think you get sort of the respect that you deserve for bringing awareness to the modern, you know, women's mixed martial arts scene.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I definitely that is something that I utilized a lot more early on in my career, was like social media kind of presence and stuff. And you know, it'd be cool to kind of tap into that again, and just sort of, definitely the Harlem Shake video was pretty cool, because it was funny. Like I wasn't gonna do anything, because it was like a contest, I guess. All the you know, they gave like $1,000 or $2,000 bonus for the best like Harlem Shake video, but I submitted it like a day late, so I didn't win, but I think I still had the best one.
Awesome. So yeah. Rose, obviously everybody, you know, we all love you. I mean, you have such an amazing, strong following. You're an amazing role model. To me, I consider you one of the best female role models in the sport for many more reasons than just your prowess when you're in the octagon doing your thing. And, you know, you came off every fight of your life from the last, I would say, basically every fight of your life is always the biggest fight of your life. Okay. Yeah. So you just came off the biggest fight of your life against Carla Esparza. We all know that, you know, she's, I like her a lot too. I mean, she's an amazing wrestler, the whole bit. And, you know, I'm sorry to see that you suffered the loss, but at the same time, in my opinion, you didn't suffer a loss. You just suffered another experience.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure.
So how's it been for you since then? I mean, I always like to know what you're doing. Like, what do you do to overcome the loss aside from explaining what the loss was all about? I'm not so much into that now. I think anybody with a good eye for fighting knows the technical battle that you were in and how it went. Since then, what have you been doing to calm yourself down, or, you know, get yourself back in the mode? I mean, what do you do? I mean, do you run? Do you see movies? I mean, do you and Pat like spar, or what do you do?
Hey, that might be coming up. But no, I lately I've been in the garden a lot. Obviously, I think anybody that follows me knows I'm in there. I had to, you know, I got a late start on this season just because, you know, the fight and whatnot, but I planted a bunch of stuff. And so that's like the main thing. And then I have a bunch of stuff, you know, that I push off or whatever, like, you know, just adulting things. So I got to, you know, do all those things. But things have been really, I've definitely had my down moments for sure. But as far as like other losses, this one is, it stings, but it don't sting that bad, you know, like it's fine. And if anything, I know I'm just gonna, you know, reinvent myself and just be a lot stronger from this. I think that was an experience that I needed. Things didn't go quite according to plan. but it was like really close to being according to plan. I think the most, you know, I guess for everybody else, you know, it sucks that it had to have been like a boring fight, because I'm always a part of exciting fights. I bring the excitement, you know.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. So it just so sorry about that. But other than that, I had to do what I had to do, you know. And I think I'm proud of myself ultimately. Like, there was a couple things that I was a little upset with myself about, you know, like just certain things that I like didn't really recognize myself,
right,
or just came out of character a little bit. But ultimately, I'm very happy.
Hey, I hate the idea that Rose is apologizing, because I thought it was a very tactical.
I know, I do too. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know, the sort of barn burner that we're used to, you know, Thug Rose being in and you know, adding to that championship legacy. But I will say this, and I'm curious to get both of your guys' thoughts about this. You too as well, Pat. You know, I thought that this was a fight where you could argue who won the fight, you know, either way, if you really want. But this came down to sort of the game of combat sports. And I don't want to say that, like, I don't want to, like, say that mixed martial arts is not as real as it gets. Like, it is very much the realest sport in the world. But I think if people are saying that Carla won, it's because she, quote unquote, you know, beat the game. She won the game. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair either, because you brought up a good point, Rose, as well, when you talk about defense. I don't think you were necessarily credited with your defense. So I kind of want to pick your guys' brains about the idea that, you know, combat sports at the end of the day, when it's involved in a, you know, regulated environment, a lot of times it's more about winning the game and, you know, playing for points rather than sometimes playing for a stoppage.
And if I could interject one little thing before you answer that, Rose, you know, the bottom line is it's a chess match.
Yeah. Okay?
And if you ever watch people play chess, it's never that exciting, okay? You're all sitting there waiting for the move. And we all know that Carla's looking for that single leg takedown every chance she gets to get you down on the ground, you know, with the prowess and the fine fighter that she is.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't have a barn burner.
Yeah. Okay,
sorry, folks, you know.
Hey, I will say this. Every, like, so the game plan, like, 90% of the game plan was complete as far as, like, just shutting down her strengths, you know, like she's always does the same thing. I've shown something completely different. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even like I was going into the fight like, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. No, I never, like, even though that's something that, like, I could agree with a lot of the time, but for this fight, it was also like, I'm, regardless of the belt, like, I've shown that I can, you know, have these slugfests and pull out, you know, and get my face broken and, you know, walk through all that stuff. But like, I feel like she didn't really show anything different, and, you know, and she had reason to not, you know, like, step into the fire, obviously, you know, weddings and things like that. But, you know, so I'm glad she was able to have her wedding with a clean face. But ultimately, you know, it's like, I just felt like, yeah, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say, but
get back to the strategy a little bit, if you don't mind, Rose,
because I'm at a crossroads. Get back to the strategy.
Well, I feel like you make a good argument that you should be rewarded for defense.
Yeah. And I think it's also, but, you know, it's one of those things where, I was, even like the opportunities that presented itself to, you know, like the moments where I was getting the offensive, I hate to say this because it is an excuse, but every time I would be like, all right, this is the game ender right here. This is about to lead to my offensive move. My fucking foot would slip. I'm sorry for cursing, but it was really annoying. And I've never had a problem with it. Like, all of the fights in the UFC, except for the last two fights. If you watch that one and then the one before that, every time, it's like, even the fight with the rematch with Whaley, it looks like she rocked me, but she did not. Like, I slipped as she, like, threw a punch, and then I'm like, I wobbled backwards. And so it's just like, it's really annoying. It's like getting on ice or something, you know?
Let's touch on that a second, because I'm going to tell you something. There's nights I'm in the octagon, and, you know, when I'll do, like, my 180 move or my 90 move, and my foot will either land solid and I'm really firm.
Yeah.
Flips, right? And I noticed that night that you fought, that as the night went on, my foot started to slip. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's because
you're wearing shoes too, Bruce.
And I'm wearing shoes.
Yeah.
And I wear these special shoes to allow me to move the way I want to move. I get these Hugo Boss shoes that I love. They're flat sole the whole bit. Yeah. But I noticed that my foot actually, I would be in my position with my legs wide, and my left leg that I just planted was slipping forward as I was announcing. And I wonder if that's maybe because they have to clean the octagon sometimes in between fights. I don't know. Well, some nights that thing just seems slippier than other nights.
But if they use any sort of water, that's supposed to add traction because it's canvas. So I don't totally know.
Well, it's really weird because, like you said, sometimes your foot will catch. And actually, there was a moment where it was it was very weird where it almost, it slipped and then caught and it almost rolled my ankle forward. Now, I think it was like I was throwing an uppercut and I like, I went like this. And it was weird because I felt my foot like slide and then almost roll, like almost rolled my whole freaking ankle over. And so
I blew my ACL like that, Rose. I blew my ACL exactly the way you just described it when I was mousing George St. Pierre. When I did a bunny hop back and my foot slipped and it rolled and then my ankle blew. My knee.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's something like, cause I heard there's something that's sprayed on the logos or something. I don't know, but it needs to be addressed. Something needs to happen.
Is there something that can like be used like equipment wise, like a grip tape to be put on the sole of the foot or something?
When I fought in Amsterdam years ago, we used to spray. It was like when you get in the ring, you put your foot over the rope and they have this aerosol spray.
Really?
It sticks your foot to the ground.
Like a football player sprays in their hands or whatever.
You used to spray that on your feet, but in turn is our fault, right? Because
we knew that too, cave, you know,
the octagon has been slippery ever since I was fighting. Right.
It's just weird because I never had that problem up until we fight.
But what I was going to say was we go into every fight and we come out of every fight complaining about how slippery it is. I think all UFC fighters do. We complain about the slipperiness instead of, this is why I say it's our fault, instead of training and preparing for a fight on a slippery campus, because it's not going to change. We've been making the request since 2008. Like
that I used to do was I would like shadow box on my kitchen floor because it's like slippery and I would put socks on. I haven't been doing that, so maybe I need to do that a little more. I don't know. But it's stupid. It's just like, whatever, you know.
I'm kind of worried about that training technique because I can just see a slip and, you know, you don't want to slip. Don't want to slip in the kitchen and miss your fight.
I know some commissions feel differently about it. It's a sort of a case-to-case scenario, but are tie socks a better solution? Like, is that something you can do to add better?
Possible. I could try that.
We don't know what the rule is on that.
Right. No, it's the same thing. Like I said, it's different everywhere.
You can't guys coming in with tie socks. People have come in with tie socks.
They do.
They tell us all the time that you can't wear those.
Yeah.
Then how does the guys that I've seen or walk in with them? How do they do it?
Different, Bruce. It's every
before they walk out and they ain't gonna say nothing.
Doesn't Amanda Nunes have tie socks on when she's fighting?
She does usually.
It depends on the commission. And I think to even the more granular level, I think it might depend on the inspector that is looking at you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It does. It does really. That could make sense.
I got to ask you one question. In the last few fights and it went viral when you're standing there as wonderfully and as stoic and as ready to rock as you are going, I'm the best when I'm announcing you. But I noticed when I was in the octagon the other night, I didn't see you saying I'm the best, you know, and you are, you know, win or lose. Was there a reason for that? Or if I may ask you, how would you explain that?
You know, that's something that I probably need to dive into my own psyche a little more to really give you a proper answer. But there was definitely something off. You know, I definitely was a little less. I think it was weird because like beginning of the training camp, I was very motivated. And then there's just a lot of stuff that I was dealing with. and it's, you know, it's every time, like it's not nothing, you know, it's not. A reason, but it is but I did feel like slightly apathetic. I don't know.
Interesting word.
Just to tie it back into the strategy that you were asking about. You have to perform your strategy, your opponent performs your strategy, and the strategy, everyone's waiting for the other one to come out of it and to like give the window of opportunity to finish the fight. That never appeared. So the reason why we're okay with the result is because we're aware that Rose didn't take it.
Yeah. I think, the apathetic use of the word is only in applied to the context of, in order for me to basically make my opportunity, like, because the couple slips that happened in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm you know, this, in order for me to make this thing happen, like I kind of have to force it. And there's a huge risk that comes with that. So, yeah. And normally I have no problems with doing that. But in that moment, I was like, I don't know if this is the time to do that. I usually do. And then that moment, there was just a bunch of, you know, calculations in my head. That's like, I don't know if this is the risk that's worth taking right now. You know,
In my life, because I'm a big poker player, right? Mm-hmm. So, and poker and fighting, they relate mentally. And it comes down to this. At some point in poker, you decide to put the guy to a test or the woman to a test by putting all your chips in, by going all in. And there's only one or two things that's going to happen when you do that. You're either going to knock him out, submit him in our game, or you're going to get knocked out and submitted. That's it. It's going to go either way. And in a fight that wasn't necessarily passive, but was the way that it was, you know, she's worried about your long distance, your ability, you know, she's going to walk into those punches. You're dealing with the wrestler and the single leg, double leg takedown potential, all that goes with it after that happens. Mm-hmm. That's what made it a technical fight. And win or lose, Rose, at least as the saying goes, you didn't get the crap kicked out of you. It wasn't like, you know, this dominating factor that I've seen you do to Joanna and other people.
And for the, like, coming out of that fight now, just after feeling her, because obviously we knew we both had improved. I felt like my growth was exponentially, like, larger, but at the same time, like, I didn't know exactly how much she'd grown. So I was kind of going into it like, you know, now that I know what she feels like, you know, I don't necessarily, like, I had that respect for it, but now I feel like, you know, my wrestling strength was, I don't know, I felt pretty damn strong. So I feel like confident to be able to stand up if I wanted to, or even take her down. And I did it towards the end. So to me, it's like, if I ever, you know, got that opportunity again, I'd feel way more confident in that. But you know,
we didn't know any of that until after the fight.
You know, it's just, but it took,
wait, Pat, what did you say?
We didn't know any of that until after the fight though.
Okay. Yeah. And it sounds kind of lame, cause it's like, well, I had 25 minutes to take that risk, but I just was like, shit, I don't want to take the risk right now.
Rose,
the night's not the night.
Yeah.
You're going to keep popping your head in and out like that, right, Pat. You're like the Jack in the Box.
VH1's pop-up video back in the day. Just with
Pat. It is the pop-up. Yeah. You know, Rose, listen.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality of the situation is, okay, you're coming off a loss. You're going to deal with it. I mean, you fought Zhang twice. You got the split decision over Jessica after, you know, dealing with the other loss by Jessica. It's not a question of asking you when you're going to come back. It's all about when you decide to come back. You know, this is your world. This is your oyster. This is your life. People can come to you. You can get a call tomorrow morning from Mick or Shelby or whoever's handling your matchmaking. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm not ready. Or you say, hey, get me back in there. But this is all your decision. None of us have anything to do with your decision. Okay. Yeah. We're not in there. And that's why when people boo or whatever, I look at them in the audience, no matter how great they are when they're raving, and when they're booing, I basically go, I'm thinking to myself, will you shut the F up? I mean, you're not in there doing this. I had a King of the Cage one time years ago, right back, like King of the Cage 4 or something like that. And there were two overweight heavyweights, if you know what I'm saying.
Super
doing their thing. It wasn't the best fight. And the crowd is booing the hell out of them. Okay. Now we're not on TV. We're being taped for videotapes. I got in the octagon after I announced the winner. I said, and listen, for all of you in the audience that's booing, we have a table over here. We're taking sign-ups for a special tournament at the end of the night where you get to fight me, Larry Landless, and Herb Dean. And for all of you that are booing, we'd appreciate if you sign up. Or will you please stop booing and respect the fact that these fighters are doing everything they can for you? You know what? They stopped. It was only 2,000 people. They stopped booing. I mean, it went down to a complete minimum. Wow. It's like respect. Nobody is doing what you're doing, Rose. Nobody can tell you what to do. Only Rose and Pat can tell you what to do. You know?
Yeah. I think it's just the expectation was so high. The thing is like, but ultimately, you know, there was a lot of other exciting fights and there was lots of blood and
it was a good night. Yeah.
Brutal things. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like it was even scary for me to watch, like certain things, you know? And it's just like, okay, just go take a snack break if it's boring to you, you know, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, the thing is, yeah, like ultimately that was a, like, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but at the same time, it's like, we kind of knew that, like, I was thinking at least just the first round.
Yeah.
You know, once I figured something out, I was expecting the first round for some booze, So it didn't really, I was just expecting that. And then I just never came out of that part of the game plan. But, you know, so it didn't really bother me because I had expected that, like, this is going to probably happen at least for 5 minutes. But I was like hoping to, okay, now I'm going to start. And it just never did.
I hate to be like an apologist because, you know, like, I feel like there were things to appreciate in this fight. I'm a hardcore mixed martial arts fan. Tactical fights are beautiful in their own way. But I'm curious because when you talk about the growth of Carla, like, you had a pretty good idea of what Carla was going to bring to the octagon. I think people, you know what her stock and trade is. Yeah. Do you feel that the fight looked the way that it did at times because Carla's not the typical type of fighter, like, say, a Joanna or Jean-Louis, who's going to bite down in the mouthpiece and actually try to take you out? She's more of a plotting fighter, so the fight tends to be that way.
Yeah, watch all her fights. I mean, if you rewatch any of her fights, for the most part, like, she makes herself look like this, like, oh, and then you think you can just take her out, and that's how she, boom, and then she ducks under, and that's like her whole game plan is to get you to come at her. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she's never really, like, she'll do blitzes, you know, and then she'll kind of just to get you pissed off to come at her. And that's why I was like, no, I'm not doing what you want me to do. Even like her corner was like, oh, she's stepping forward now. And I was like, nope, now I'm stepping back.
She's like little Randy Couture, you know, the way she fights sometimes, you know. And I mean that with all respect, because Randy,
masterfully, you know.
She's an absolute master at what she does.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
absolute master at what she does, man. She's
She always has size going against her. She's, you know, God bless her. She's only 5'1 or 5'2, which immediately she's got the size differentials got to deal with. Your reach, I mean, you know, you can pick her apart with strikes coming in, which is, you know, she's got to fight that kind of fight.
So I would know what to do a lot better now. I know, like, certain things that I could have did better, even just in my preparation. But ultimately, it's like there's always adjustments you can make regardless of win or loss. So it's like, it's all just about what's the next, you know, turning the page, what's next, like, just, you know, getting back to martial arts and just like gardening and improving myself as a person, and then, you know, see what's next.
Improve yourself as a person, get back to finding your passion and your fire to reset it off. I mean, it's only right. But, you know, I'm just going to go down a small list here. You deserve nothing but respect for the warrior spirit and the warrior that you are. And I'm going to tell you why. In all the times you've been in the UFC, you fought nobody but the best. I mean, starting with Carla, Angela Hill, Paige Van Zandt, Carolina, you know, I can't always say
pronounce.
I'll get it when I announce her when she comes to the octagon. Michelle Waterson, Joanna, you know, Jessica and Zhang.
It's a Hall of Fame resume,
it's
bud.
Hall of Fame resume. Yeah. Look at that pedigree. Nobody can argue anything. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. I just want to hear that you're happy. You guys are loving your lives together. And when you're ready to come back, I just hope I'm still there. And that's it.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I will be. I will be.
The day you're not, I'm done.
I'll be there.
Speaking
no problem.
Of Hall of Famers, let's be honest. Daniel Cormier, no one knows who Daniel Cormier is if he never screams Thug Rose 800 times.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
I'm kidding, obviously. Yep.
Yeah, it's done.
No. So you guys got any trips planned? I mean, you know, listen, you got a great relationship going. And you know, as Pat knows, I can't wait to hear the day that I can announce you walking down the aisle of love forever. But I think you're doing that now anyway without doing it. So
no, I got to figure something out because, that would be really cool. And I'll definitely let you know when we plan something like that. But right now I want to I'm just like on a little property search, you know, like I want to either get some land or maybe buy a house. I don't know exactly what's
The downsides of being a fighter, like we've been on this land search here in Colorado for a while now, but then we realized quickly that we don't know anything.
Yeah
we don't know,
we don't have any education. Or dads.
I mean, let me give you a little advice, because I come from Malibu where I grew up with brush fires my whole life. Okay.
Yes.
Wherever you buy in Colorado, because the fires that happen there, do your research and make sure you're not in one of those fire zones, because they do have a tendency to go up again about every 7 or 8 years, you know, God forbid.
So, fire now.
Yeah, I mean.
I know. That's my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, when you say like land search, are you talking about like a land to build on, or like you want to make this garden massive and like start a farm?
You know, obviously I had been into airships for a while. They're just like these self-sustaining houses. So I want to build one of those, but
That's awesome. It's
going to take a while. So I got to like kind of just take my steps. But ultimately, yeah, like a homestead or a farm or whatever it is, you know, I love doing that.
You talked about that last time on the show about it's a home that basically takes care of everything.
Explain that
again. It's like
it's off grid and it, you know, it recycles its water. It treats the sewage on site. It collect, you know, obviously solar panels and stuff, but even like one of the best kind of, it temperature controls everything the way that it's built, because it has like within the structure, it has like diaphragm tires and things, and just depending on where you're at, like, you know, in the world climate wise, they adjust it to where you're at. So, you know, it's like a all, you know, inclusive, you know, off-grid house.
The house stays the same temperature all year.
And it uses like some recycled materials and stuff. So it's like you're not just like, okay, now starting off by doing something better for the planet. You're actually like cleaning up some stuff, you know? So like certain place, especially here in Colorado, it's good for like the way they build it. They use it with like the earth rim tires. So like in colder places. And so, you know, there's billions of tires that just go to the landfill and then, you know, just sit there all the time. So
tires, bottles, cans,
bottles. Yeah.
It's not a house made out of garbage.
Yeah, it's like, but they make it real beautiful. Like, you know, like the bottle they put in all little artistic ways, and it's like a stained glass windows, and it's really cool. Yeah.
That's a house made out of garbage, but it's not a garbage house.
I have to ask, because I think, you know, you guys have the DNA to make some amazing children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
Is that, and would the house have one or two extra rooms? Is that something that potentially do you think about in your future?
I definitely thought about it.
very cool.
Yeah, it's definitely
crazy. That's look at Pat. Look, Pat, you don't see Pat, but he's crossing fingers. His eyes are going up. Okay, yeah.
Obviously, you know, just with like the world that we're living in, it's like I think it's a crazy world to like bring kids into. But at the same time, it's like, you know, God says be fruitful and multiply. So, you know, I think it'd be a beautiful thing.
Hey, I mean, you get one of these all-inclusive houses, as you put it. You can bring kids into the world and then decide when you actually want to let them go out to the outer world, you know?
Yeah, yep. There you go. Yeah,
that's the idea.
For sure.
I don't think I've ever seen a man's reaction so happy and facially speaking as Pat is during that last bit of conversation we just had.
You know what's funny is that I definitely thought about that, and I have also thought about adopting before, too. So I guess it just, like, depends, you know?
Yeah.
But... yeah.
That's okay. I think you'd make a great mom.
Both would be cool, but you know.
we'll start off with another puppy first.
You know what? It's the old story. Yeah. When you decide to fight again, when you decide to have a kid, we'll all hear about it and we'll all go like this. Yay. Okay.
Yay. So
it's all good.
Can you just say though, real quick, like dogs, like puppies, they're harder than children, I think. For a brief period of time.
Well, I don't have nothing to base it off of, but
my mom says you can't legally put a kid in a cage for 8
That's
hours.
True. Yeah.
TJ, did you just say it's harder to take care of a dog than a kid?
Oh, my! Maybe I had like an exceptional baby, but my kid was a lot easier to take care of than my English Bull Terrier.
Maybe I had an exceptional dog.
I don't know. Well, like I thought about getting an English Bull Terrier. I hear they're really like stubborn.
Oh, they're amazing.
yeah,
but they're very hyper, right?
They're like Pat. They're like Pat.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, look at that beautiful guy.
That's Mishka.
Is he a mix? Oh my God, he's so beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Like a little bit of a, well, I don't know what she is, but she's just like kind of maybe like a little fox or something.
She's gorgeous. God, her coat is amazing.
Right there, yeah.
How old is she?
She's like
9.
Going on 9. Yeah. So she's
9.
Like,
oh, so cute. So cute. Yeah. That makes me I got to get a dog again. God.
Dude, it's the best.
Yeah, they're the best.
Can I ask you a question I've been wanting to ask you for like 10 years?
Me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
What is the origin story of It's Time?
Okay. I always wake up in the morning, you know, when you time to shave and everything. And, you know, I've always had my own businesses since I was 19, right? And I've always had to motivate myself, as entrepreneurs have to. So I always want the day to be the best day it can be for me. So after I'm shaving or something, I would literally look in the mirror and go, it's time. You know, right?
That's awesome.
So then I still do, you know, it's just my thing. It's my mantra. And what happened was, is that because when I started in this game, I was managing my legendary brother, Michael Buffer, who I met late in life. I met him when I was 20. You guys know the story. We did not grow up together. And when I decided to go into announcing, I never wanted to be Frank Sinatra Jr. Okay. I wanted to be Bruce Buffer. Right. So I told myself, if I can't create my own style in the first 2 to 3 years, I was going to quit. Right. Leave it alone. I got plenty of other things I can do, including my management, any blah, blah, blah. So I started off the shows without being phrase driven. Like, everybody thinks you got to have, let's get ready for this. It's time for this. You know, everybody, oh, I'm going to be an announcer. I want to have a catchphrase like Michael Buffer. Cause he, of course, he created that whole genre.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. So I would start off the show saying, it's time to begin the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And that's the way I started every show. So then when Dana bought it, he brought me into Vegas, and it was a full-on Godfather meeting, let me tell you. We sit down, and, you know, we knew each other for years. We get along great. So, but he said, he go, you know, I'd like you to take that out of the beginning. You go, there's two fight announcements that were the greatest announcements I've ever heard. That's when you introduced Tito Ortiz against Devin Tanner in Atlantic City, and when Michael Buffer introduced, a great fight. I'll think of it in a second. And he said, if you can keep that tempo, keep that tempo. So I did. And I started to keep that tempo and build on it. But then at the main event, about 7-8 years into my announcing, I realized that, hey, you know, the fighters have been training 6 to 8 weeks. The people are sitting in the arena watching on TV for 5 or 6 hours. Now it's the main event. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. It's time, right? That's when I started to incorporate it's time. And another key reason is that when you start off the main event, it's like, and now the main event of the evening, your referee in charge, the judges are, the commission is. It's like you take the whole wind out of the audience and you got to bring it back in and accentuate it again. That's why I created I have to start it off with a big pop. Then I got to take everybody flat, including the fighters. And then I want to bring them all back in, explode it, and go right into the announcing of the fighters. And that's
I totally see that, because that's exactly how it feels.
And it's funny because now after in Brazil it started, when everybody would say it back to me and they speak Portuguese, I realize now that I could like hold this time for 5 more seconds, or when I go, and now, you know, I can hold that. And they'll hold it as long as I hold it while I'm saying it. And it's kind of Simon Says. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's one of the best parts of fighting in the UFC.
It's cool.
Thank you so much. As long as it keeps making the hair stand up in my arms, but the moment I lose my passion to do what I'm doing, then it's time for me to retire. You know, same for you too, Rose.
Same, for sure.
I'm not just in this for the paycheck. I'll be the first one to cash it every Monday morning, or the seat. I love my seat. I'm in this because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it.
Important.
I'm in this for you. I'm in this for the fighters. good.
Yeah.
Come on.
I want the fighters to make the most money they can make. We all know UFC pays, with the exception of a couple other deals here or there, but the UFC pays the most money of anybody. And as I always say, with respect to all other organizations, you never leave the NFL. No. You don't go play in the CFL, with all respect. You stay in the NFL.
Yeah. That's the move to make.
Yep. Yeah. So I hope I answered your question, Pat.
I've been wanting to know forever. Like, I've been wanting to know for a while, like, where did that come from, bro? Because it's fantastic, man.
Thank you, man. Well, that's why I'm coming out with all my products here. I'm going to show, you'll be getting a case of my new energy drinks. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Plus natural. Okay. This is not the garbage. This is the good stuff. Even Jeff Kavinsky loves it.
Oh, that's so perfect. Because I literally just started, like, he's obviously on all kinds of energy drinks and stuff. But for me, it's like, I sometimes will drink a little bit, but not like so much, but I've been drinking these like healthy ones and they've actually been kind of good lately. So I'm definitely down for, the healthier ones.
Where do you taste this? We'll, if you like it, then we'll discuss some other stuff that could happen. And Pat, what the hell are you doing drinking an energy drink? You don't need energy.
All his life.
Man, it's tough, man.
So bad.
I just can't even imagine you needing substituted energy. I've never seen you in a lull, for God's sake.
Yeah, jeez. It probably just brings him back to level, like at this point.
That's it. That's the key right there.
Mental. Yeah, five-hour energies.
Oh, this is the worst stuff you can put in your body. You don't want that. It's got taurine in it. I'm not gonna allow you to drink that. You're gonna drink this.
You changed the game, Buffer. This is just, they're talking about before the It's Time energy drink. That's all how right, I want to live.
I'm still 4 to 8 weeks away from U.S. We're in England, and it's doing great. Hey, when you were on the show last time, did I offer to send you a bottle of Puncher's Chance bourbon? I don't know if you drink. Do you drink?
No, we don't. We don't normally drink, but
that's why.
Well,
that's
he
why.
Doesn't for sure.
No, I don't.
But... Yeah, for sure not.
But... No, I don't want you to drink either, Pat. That's another thing you can't do. Okay.
No, not no more. No. But I mean, I could try something, you know. Yeah.
Rose's some, Rose's little mom.
Pat, do me a favor. Send me Rose's address. Let me send you out a bottle of Puncher's Chance. I made this with people like Rose in mind. It's all about the underdog and a life can change it. Have you seen it, Rose?
What's that?
Have you seen the?
The bottle's amazing.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Puncher's Chance. I like that. That's cool.
We won 6 gold medals, 3 for taste, 3 for bottle design. And we just got voted the top 5 best sipping bourbon in America. So
really? Okay.
Yeah. Shoot me an address. I'll have my people send you out a bottle.
Yes, please. Thank you.
If you like it, shoot me back a little video or something. Show me you like it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'll put it on social media, sell another 10,000 bottles, and then we'll hire you to promote it.
Sure.
I sent the address just now.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it. You guys want to promote? Oh, Rose, do you have anything to promote? Like, how can we get like Rose Namajunas merchandise aside from UFC and stuff?
Yeah. So RVCA or Ruka is how, you know, I guess it's pronounced, but if you just go to rvca.com, I'm supposed to be coming out with the clothing line, actually, like the actual, you know, my collection, but I have some t-shirts and stuff that I was actually gonna wear that one, but anyway, I got a couple of t-shirts that if you know you can buy my t-shirt on their website.
Very cool. Well, you know, I have a company called Millions.co that the Shevchenko sisters are part of. Doug Nasty, a lot of people coming in, where we make all that merch. I can have them make and recreate your merchandise on Millions.co at no cost to you whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah.
And we ship it worldwide. When that happens, let me know, because I could imagine with all the fans you have, I mean, there's got to be Thug Rose merch out there.
No, it definitely. That's definitely like things that we've been working on for sure. But what else was I gonna say?
Yeah, I don't sew very fast.
Yeah, but yeah, we're working on that. But yeah, I'd like to hear more about what did you say it was?
It's called Millions.co, Millions.co. We take every athlete of every. We start off with fighters, and we just took off like crazy. Yeah. But we have video abilities there where you can like we have these watch parties like the Shevchenko sisters do. When you're not at a UFC, your fans will pay to join you on the. On the thing, you can watch the UFC with them. They can ask you questions, just like a fight companion, like Joe Rogan has.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I have sponsors come in where you can make even more money with the sponsors that we'll bring in. And then we make these, our merchandise, like for instance, as an example, let's say Derek Lewis in Houston goes, my balls are hot, right?
Yeah.
Everybody laughs, right? Mm-hmm. I can have a shirt ready to be delivered to the world the very next day.
Wow.
Okay.
That's how fast we're. Pat, I'll send you the link and I'll set up. I don't mean to talk about this on the show. I've done it before with other fighters, but you're perfect for it. As you are too, Pat, we would also create a line of merch for you. Okay. There's no cost to you. No cost to you. And we give, like, in a merchandise deal you have with, and I love, is it Ruku? Is that how you say it?
Ruka.
Yeah,
Ruka. Ruka. The owner's a great guy. I just saw him recently. They do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Usually in license deals like that, you get 10 or 15%. Here you get like 70% of everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm trying to teach the fighters how to brand themselves better, make money aside from their check on fight night.
Yes. You know,
I'm in this game to help fighters make more money. It's just one of my dreams and one of my goals. It's always been that way.
I've got all the time right now to do all those things. So that's something I'll be working on for sure.
All right. I'm going to send you a group text to my associate named Brandon. You guys can set a little meeting and talk to him.
Okay. Cool.
Now that you got the time off. Okay, enough business. That's all. Nothing like, I just want to make you more money so you can take better vacations and build bigger houses for your future children.
The house made of garbage a lot quicker.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, I appreciate that.
All right, guys, we've kept you a little longer than planned, but it's always a joy to have you on the show. And Rose, I know like I'm one of like maybe one or two interviews you've done since your fight night. And that's an honor to me. And I really respect that. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. I really appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Anytime, for sure. Yeah. I always like talking to you.
Always like talking to you, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, one night when we're at a show, let's get together, have a little dinner and maybe break a few glasses of water. Okay.
Energy drinks.
Energy drink. Yay. Okay. Well, I got your address now. So you'll be in the pipeline for merch. I'll take care of everything I told you I was going to do. But again, thank you. Thank you so much. And Rose, again, the world is your oyster. It's all up to you. It's up to nobody else. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
There you go. All right. You'll be back. Right, I'll be sharing my office with you again soon.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Say hi to Trevor for me. Well, he's a great guy.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Pat. Take care, champ.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. I've had an absolute blast recording your championship intros on audio and also on video. And for those of you that didn't know, the videos can be done special exactly the way you like them, because these are green screens and we can do them with a scene behind me. Do you want a fighting scene? Do you want a beach scene? Do you want a race car scene? Any scene you want, we can give it to you. It's your theme and my pleasure. Just write our offices and we will answer you with the exact fee involved and how it'll get done. So here we are, and now it's time, and it's your choice. Cheers.
Lovely couple, you know. How can you not like Rose? There's something, how can you not like her? There's just people you just cannot not like.
Well, you know,
I mean, you can't help but like a part of me, including Pat. You know?
Sure. No, 100%. You know, we talked a lot about this over the years that Rose has sort of, you know, had her ascent up the division. But also last time we, you know, talked to her following her Zhang Weili fight. But I think it's still present today, even in defeat. Like, you're still seeing an evolutionary process unfold with Rose Namajunas. And for a lot of athletes who lose their championship belt, they lose a part of who they are and their sense of self and sense of identity. I don't feel that really at all with Rose Namajunas. And the way that she talks about how, you know, she lost and she'll be better next time, and she obviously is looking at it as a learning experience. She doesn't seem like, don't get me wrong, she was defeated, but she doesn't seem defeated, if you will.
No. Not defeated at all. And that's where the strength of her attitude comes in. And you know what? If she wants to take 6 months, if she wants to take a year, that's her prerogative, because she's always going to get
this point, you know, and there aren't a lot of athletes, Bruce, that can really walk away from active competition for, you know, the better part of a year or an extended leave from the octagon and still be okay. I think Rose could take away as much time as she wants and just sort of focus on herself and come back better than ever.
Absolutely agree. And no matter what, when she, like, what do you think her contender status is now? One or two?
I mean, she's one, in my opinion. Does that mean she's going to get a fight, you know, with the champion next fight out? I think there are some things that could unfold where that could be the case. I don't think she's going to fight Carla again right away. But if Carla does, you know, lose, you could see Rose immediately in that title mix. Because again, like, I know this was a fight that maybe wasn't the most impactful and wasn't, you know, on brand for a Rose Namajunas fight, but I'm sorry. Like, I have a hard time believing that anybody wouldn't be excited for her name, whether it be in the main event spot, co-main event spot, fighting for a title or a title eliminator. People are going to get excited and people are going to put down their money to watch Rose Namajunas fight.
Agreed. And I think it just, we can stop it right there, because agreed.
Styles make fights, and you tell me anybody that, you know, beats or, you know, loses to Rose Nami or to Carla Esparza, they don't look good doing it. You might even beat Carla, but she's the type of athlete that makes it a fight where you don't always look great doing so. She's a tough fighter to take out. And, you know, we talk about the credentials of Rose Namajunas, who I truly believe is a Hall of Fame fighter. I think Carla Esparza cemented her status as being on the short list or a foregone conclusion as being a Hall of Fame athlete for the UFC, because now she's a two-time champion, was the first strawweight champion in, you know, UFC history. This win over Rose for Carla has really cemented her as one of the greatest of all time as well.
Agree with you completely. And, you know, with all, let's give Carla some respect here. Okay. Carla, total respect. One of my favorite fighters out there, fabulous person on her own right. And how fulfilling, aside from the fight in the octagon, to see this beautiful girl walk down the aisle of love forever with her husband.
What was that?
A week later with the belt around her and not beat up in the face. So maybe there was poetic justice to the outcome of this, leading into a beautiful moment for somebody very deserving.
Again, I'm not trying to apologize for the fight in any way, shape, or form. If you don't like the fight, that's fine. You don't like the fight. But I think there was something beautiful about the tactics employed to get the job done. Yes, I don't want every mixed martial arts fight to look like that. I don't really ever want any fight to look like that. But I do believe that if you know what you're watching and have an appreciation for the sport, there's plenty to appreciate in there and the finer points of the details for both athletes and what they were trying to do. Yes, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing, but we have to have fights like those too, Bruce, to appreciate the ones like Rose is in more often than not, where, you know, she's getting a performance of the night bonus or fight of the night bonus. You know, if you never get something that sort of is a struggle, you never appreciate the greatness that is just around the bend.
Agreed. And as the saying goes, you can't hit a home run every time. Okay.
Oh,
and you know how I know that? Runs. You can't even throw a proper pitch every time. Did you see the Steve Aoki pitch at the Red Sox game?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I love Steve.
I was wondering,
I don't think he ever played baseball.
I know he's a friend. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest here. Steve Aoki does wonderful behind the ones and twos and those turntables and the songs. But he's not going to be pitching for anybody's team anytime soon.
Well, he went down in history as the only one that could beat 50 Cent in the worst pitch ever. But all kidding around, Steve, if you happen to be listening or your manager, Dougie, like Steve wrote, he was very comical about it. He put out an Instagram and he goes, I think I'll stick to throwing cakes.
Do you think he knew what he was like, what he was in store for? Because like, you don't go out, like, do you practice? I would practice personally.
I threw the first pitch at the Dodger game.
Yeah.
I laced the plate. It was about 4 inches off the ground, but
doesn't matter.
The plate, I was right from the rubber.
Yeah, yep.
But I threw pitches on. I hadn't thrown a ball in over 10 years, and I threw pitches with one of the catchers on the sideline.
You have to, right?
Well, I would think you do, and I don't think maybe Steve warmed up, and he looked like his windup was there. But when you throw a cake, you lob it. So maybe he just, you know, there was too much of a lob in his release. But whatever the case might be, he has such a good attitude. It was fun. Everybody enjoyed it. You got a ton of publicity off it. So all PR is good PR.
Just spell the name right.
What's that?
Just spell the name right, like you always say.
Yep.
Write whatever you want. Just make sure you spell the name correctly.
Just make sure you spell my name correctly. And speaking of spelling it correctly, you know, Tom Brady, he's going to go, they're saying after he retires, he's going to be an analyst for Fox on football. I think that's really cool.
I'm surprised he's going to do that. I mean, maybe not, because he is like this consummate professional and like a lifelong, you know, competitor. And I think that there is a whole nother level of competition, you know, in broadcasting that will probably satisfy that itch a little bit when he does walk away. But I mean, this is a guy that absolutely 100% doesn't need to do anything ever again unless he wants to. And I think it's cool to see that he wants to, you know, get into that side of the sport when he is done. But man, I don't know when he's going to be done. I'm not a firm believer in the idea that we're always going to go into a football year as, oh, this is the last year for Tom Brady and have it stick. You know what I mean? So we'll find out.
You know what? He has a standing offer, and it's like, I've said this before on the show, there's a term in Broadway. It's the smell of the grease paint, the roar of the crowd, which is the same thing I'm going to face when I get older about, you know, can I walk away from the octagon?
You're
as long as I can be
away from the octagon.
No, I'm never walking away. If I go down to one or two shows a month or whatever, but I'm never walking away until I have to walk away. And like I mentioned earlier, my passion wanes and it's time for me to walk away.
You'll still be pressing the button for the hologram when you can't do it anymore.
We'll see what the future holds, but you know, Brady with his marriage, his what seems to be a beautiful family set up and everything else, he might be in for more work. I don't know if he realized the amount of work that goes in there, but then
I think he does. And I think that's what attracts him to it.
Okay. Now, also speaking of the NFL, did you hear about the kicker that's suing the NFL Jaguars for $3.5 million? He's suing ex-coach Urban Meyer for physical and verbal abuse.
Wow.
He wants $3.5 million in salary and damages for emotional distress.
I know coaches don't like kickers a lot, Bruce.
Yeah, I know that too, but it just seems like a money grab. But then again, there's always two sides to every story.
We don't know. It's hard for me to think that any athlete would really sort of admit to that because, you know, football especially, it's a sport where you want to be strong. And the idea that you were harmed in a certain way, whether it be, you know, physically or mentally and emotionally, it's for you know, upper echelon athletes, you have to sort of let go of something and be vulnerable. And the idea that, you know, this athlete is saying, like, look, like, I think this was inappropriate, the relationship that, you know, was here and what you did affected me negatively mentally, like, not a lot of athletes, I think, are going to allow themselves to even get to that self-realization because they are so game face, hard-headed, moving forward with the you know, motivated mindset, if you will.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I can't really comment beyond that. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit to go into a couple of stories I want to talk about while we have the moment here. Also, to a boxer named Musa Yamak is dead at 38 years old.
Oh, no.
Not from boxing. He had a heart attack in the ring.
Well, I mean, then it kind of was from boxing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah.
I hate to say it's not the typical blunt force trauma to the brain that we hear about. No. You know, when a handful of boxers pass away each
Shame.
Year.
I'm sorry to hear about that, though.
No, I mean, obviously, I think there needs to be some investigation done. It's very rare that any high level athlete's going to pass away from a heart attack because they, you know, are required to be in such great cardiovascular shape.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, thank your lucky stars, whomever you, you know, believe in as a higher power, whether, you know, you always say like God is the guarantor of your own destiny. Isn't that what you
heard of your own destiny?
Right. So, you know, if it's yourself that you, you know, thank for getting through another day or a higher power, I guess always be thankful because you never know when it could be your last.
Whoever your God is, I hope he bless you. And again, let me repeat that God again, when I preach that governor of my own destiny.
Right.
Ultimately, as an individual, we are our ultimate God because we have to, no matter who God you believe in or what advice right. you get, or even if you have to make the
power.
Decision.
Right. Even if you believe in a higher power, you got to believe that you're the one that's, you know, pushing yourself day in, day out.
Exactly. With the help of whatever you get your power from. Sure. So now another thing that's been horrible, these shootings this weekend were ridiculous, DJ. This Buffalo shooter, you know.
You know what's sad, Bruce? My wife brought this up to me and referenced a mass shooting. I can't remember where it was, but that's the issue. I can't remember where it was because there are so many. Like the one that she brought up to me, I had no recollection of. And I had to look it up and I was like, wow, how many of these are we dealing with each year? It's way too many, obviously, but way more than you probably think at this point because we hear these breaking news stories, Bruce, and we're just like, yeah, that's... not surprising.
No, I mean, in Milwaukee on Friday night, three outside the NBA arena, 17, okay. Three blocks down the street.
It happened here in Orange County.
Pardon me?
It happened here in Orange County.
In Laguna Woods, the church shooting on Sunday, one dead, five wounded. And then in Buffalo, oh my God.
It just doesn't stop, Bruce. And, you know, I don't worry about going out in public. You know, it's not something I think about. And if you do, what are you going to do? You're going to think about it so much that it's going to make you not live a normal life. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's just shocking, though, to hear it. But it's also not shocking because we've grown so numb.
It's an ongoing thing, TJ. And again, when I think about 20 years ago, it's the type of thing we read about maybe once a year. And now it's like almost every week. And it's just or definitely every month. And we'll leave it at that. I'm just have to say again, as lovely and wonderful as society and life is, you're not safe no matter where you are.
So this is the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around. I have a 10-year-old son, and when he came home from school and told me about the, you know, active shooter drill that he had to deal with in school, I never had to deal with any of that.
Fire alarms.
I mean, Columbine happened when I was in ninth grade, but even when that happened, it was still so foreign to everyone that it would ever happen again. Do you know what I mean? Like we made some sweeping reforms, I think, as far as security was concerned at my high school at the time, but never did I ever have to participate in an active shooter drill. And I don't know what I would do, Bruce. It's interesting. You know, the mall in Orange County, South Coast Plaza, it's like a higher end.
Yeah, I was just there.
Right. So I was there 4 or 5 years ago and there was a smash and grab in one of the jewelry stores inside the mall, but it was called in to the police as an active shooter. And I was eating at one of the restaurants there and our waiter came over and said, here's the bill. Take care of it whenever you want to. But I just have to ask you, please do not leave. We need you to stay in the restaurant. And I was like, what's going on? And he didn't tell us any information. So I got on Twitter and typed in South Coast Plaza and read some reports that there was an active shooter reported in the building. Again, it wasn't, but I left, Bruce. I wasn't going to sit in the damn restaurant.
Of course,
like
not.
A sitting duck. Like that's what I don't understand either. Is we have these active shooter drills, but I don't feel like they're really beneficial in the idea of taking action and getting yourself safe. It's more like hide under the table. Who wants to hide under the table and wait for their ultimate demise? That just puts all the power into the shooter's hands. You know, like I want to be proactive in my survival and not just sit there and wait and hope.
I can't agree with you more. you know, it's just a horrific situation. But with that being said, all I can tell everybody out there, what I tell everybody all the time, the best self-defense is to know where you're going, not to put yourself in situations. Right. You see something happen, stay away, avoid it at all times.
Why you sit with your back to the wall and
back to the wall,
eyes on the exit.
Within 30 seconds, I know how to get in. I know how to get out. I know where everything is.
That's and you've my always thought that way, no?
Always.
Yeah.
You go through a couple of hellacious bar fights and you better know how the hell to get out of there. Okay.
And that's the thing too, Bruce. Not even like just talking about the idea of like mass indiscriminate shootings, but like, you know, when people have conflicts, you know, at the bar, we see them escalate to these shootings. And yeah, I'm not condoning violence, but like, man, whatever happened to just getting into a good fist fight and sorting it out that way?
Nope. We've talked about it in the show. Those days are over.
I hate it. I mean, I don't want to get in a fist fight, but
no.
I don't want to get shot.
Last thing I want to, I don't need any more of those, but if it happens, it happens. It is what it is. Here, another thing too, this is a victim situations as a result of the Ukrainian war going on with Russia. But right now, McDonald's is leaving Russia altogether.
That is insane. Think about that. Think about, I mean, all the 99 billion, you know, served worldwide. That's their whole tagline. And we're talking about Russia, which is massive. It's a massive, massive country. And for McDonald's to make that decision, you know, that sends a message, I think. I mean, as silly as that sounds, I think people in Russia are going to have to sort of think, okay, well, if this massive corporation is deciding to, you know, leave and give up this market, maybe there's things we need to think about through and look through through a different lens.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to coin a pun by saying this or make a joke, but you know what? Maybe it'll make Russians eat healthier. That's all I can say. Now, on another end, get this. Thousands in Britain, in the UK, thousands of fish and chip shops could probably close within a year.
Why?
Because the cod and cooking oil they need for their cooking is under severe strain to be supplied because of the Russian assault on Ukraine.
Really? I mean, I guess I'm under. So it's the oil you're saying?
Cod. They claim it's because of the cod key ingredients, including cod and cooking oil.
Oh, okay.
Is very, very key.
I mean, I guess I don't understand exactly what the oil is and how it's you know, gathered, but I assume it would just be vegetable oil, right?
Well, possibly, but here's another thing. The prices are going up like crazy. I'll give an example. A case of Icelandic cod, which used to be in England basically $176 or 140 pounds for our UK friends listening right now, has now gone up to 270 pounds or basically $331. It's almost doubled in price.
Is it because maybe the fishermen that catch that, are they Russian and there's sanctions against doing business with I don't know.
It doesn't give all that information, but basically there's like a 500,000 fish and chip shops in England. 500,000 small businesses.
Yeah.
Now remember, these are small businesses. So when prices go up like that, you're talking in food. The main profits in restaurants is in the drinks, you know, the Cokes and this, that,
right,
and the other.
You get like an ounce of like fountain cola or fountain drink is like a penny an ounce. And they sell for $1.50 or whatever.
Exactly. It's like movie theaters make their money off popcorn and Coke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So here, basically they're paying 83% more for sunflower oil compared to early March.
Sunflower oil. Got it. Right?
Palm oil, which is an alternative, has doubled in price from Indonesia, which is the biggest importer of palm oil.
Okay.
It's just making a strain. I mean, small businesses cannot afford to do this.
It's odd to me though, that it has something to do with Russia. Like if your oil is coming from Indonesia, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, though. We've learned so much about supply chains and shortages that nothing really surprises me. But hey, you know, as far as the cod price is concerned, I don't know what they make the fillet of fish, but, you know, McDonald's might be able to sell some of their stock now that they don't have to be in Russia. They can just sell it to England and you can get your fillet of fish and chips.
Interesting point. I wonder if the McDonald's stock is suffering just from this one announcement. I'm going to check that after the show. The other thing is that this was announced by the National Federation of Fish Fryers. So we're hearing it from the horse's mouth.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, TJ, I'm just trying to think here. Oh, you know that China Eastern crash that happened, that downplane?
I did not hear about this. When did this happen?
Just a few days ago.
Okay.
They feel it might be a deliberate act by the pilot.
Oh, man.
I don't know how that's being investigated, but that's what's being investigated right now. And on the lighter side of life, I'm sorry to go. I hate the fact that I go from that kind of story to this.
No, just don't finish on it.
I won't finish on it. But Chris Helms Thorhammer.
Yeah.
going up for auction.
Okay.
How much?
I'm gonna say $1.2 million.
No, $100,000.
That's way cheaper than I thought. And the reason I thought that was because like comics are such a big thing, right? Like the whole movie industry now is built on these franchises. So I thought definitely would be worth. I mean, I don't know, buy it if you got the money, buy it because that thing is gonna appreciate in value tenfold very quickly.
Well, speaking of appreciation, one little bit of collector talk before we go. This is a 1961 Fleer unopened basketball pack. Chamberlain's rookie.
Not the first time it's been on this show.
Right. Now, my birthday Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Turning 65 on
not
Saturday.
Buying you one, Bruce. I'm not.
No, you don't buy me anything. Okay, good. Just your friendship, love, and affection. Okay.
You got it for life.
Brian, we had a family night last night. Brian made pasta. The family came over, the boys, and we watched The Godfather. We had a Godfather night.
Okay. All right.
Right. Because the boys never saw The Godfather. One of the greatest movies. One of the 100 greatest movies ever made, which I think if you sat down with your son, you would have a good time watching. It's 3 hours long.
No way in hell he's watching anything for 3 hours.
Gotcha. So, Brian, now this is the original pack, and this pack used to come in a box.
Right.
That would contain 24 of the packs.
Mm-hmm.
This pack I bought for $1,100 6 years ago now sells for roughly about $7,000-$8,000.
Wow.
Okay. And unopened and mm-hmm. graded. Brian gave me a gift of a box.
What?
Now, not a box of the packs. That would make that crazy.
That's still pretty crazy. Look at that. This wrapped and everything.
Yeah, this is wrapped the way it should be collecting. It's a box where the packs are not in the box. Now, give you an example of collecting. Brian paid $260 for this in 2013, right?
Okay.
And he sold it. One sold for $676 a few years ago.
All right. Right?
Okay. And this box is worth roughly about $1,100 now.
Just man.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, see, for me, like I'd be like, sell it, Bruce. But like you always talk about how you got to sit on it.
10 years from now, prediction, conservative prediction, 10 years from now, this box is $5,000.
Wow.
And this pack is 30.
Wow.
Okay. Prediction. All right.
All right.
So you're not going anywhere. Nowhere.
I still need to bring over my my Foot Locker of baseball cards.
Listen, you still got to get over the friggin' house.
I know. Well, let's make a date because I think we can do a show out of that, and I think we get Brian over. I think
I'm totally for it. But you know, I usually make dates with girls; they keep them. So why don't you be like a girl and keep a date? Let's get a date.
Hey, I don't like that. I don't like what you just said to me. I feel like you're attacking my character and you're not you're not wrong, Bruce. So let's make the date and I will make that date.
Lunch is on me. Trust me. It's going to be it'll be a fun few hours for you, TJ, and for me too. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be heartbreaking for me because we're going to open up all my baseball cards and realize that they're worthless, but there might be some gems in there.
We'll decide. Oh, you have unopened packs in there?
Yeah.
I'll tell you whether you're going to open it's not
probably in the right year, but yeah, I guess
it doesn't matter, but you're not opening
cards. I got some loose cards from the 60s and 70s that we can go through.
But if you have an open packs from the 60s and 70s, they are not going to be opened.
You know, no, that's fine.
We'll cover that bridge when it comes. Last note, and I look forward to it. Puncher's Chance is the major sponsor of the PFL.
Yep.
Have you seen one of the shows?
I've seen Puncher's Chance all over those broadcasts.
All over the place. Four national commercials show, fighters holding up bottles, and you know what, TJ? It's had a direct effect on sales.
I believe it. I mean, there's a reason that live sports are so lucrative when it comes to television rights. And a lot of that is because of the advertising. I mean, all of it's really because of the advertising. And that advertising is only valuable because it motivates people to spend money. And, you know, I think you're seeing that firsthand.
Thank you. I am. Two last notes. Glad to see that the Congress finally taking UFOs seriously and taking a stand on them. We know they're out there. We've talked about it on the show.
UFOs have always existed. We just didn't know what they were. They're just unidentified. It doesn't mean they're aliens. It just means they're unidentified.
They're among us. They walk among us.
I don't know if they walk among us, but
I know. But that's another. We got to get a professional on the show. I want to have another.
I would love to talk about that. So, like,
I get Joe Rogan back on the show. That's what we talked about when he was on. Yeah. So.
You know, I'm terrified of aliens. It's something that scares me like a lot. But I don't know if I believe in them necessarily. But the thought of them, Bruce, like, let me say this: I definitely believe that there's life out there. The universe is way too big to not have life out there. I just don't know if they're coming in. Seeing us, whether it be from afar or as you you know, kiddingly said, walking among us. But
for our listeners out there, view TJ, I know you've seen it, but watch Rowdy Piper's They Live. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Watch that movie and then we'll talk about that and write us in, write us questions into the show if you watch it. It's that is one of my favorite alien movies. And now, by the way, U.S. households can now order 8 more free COVID tests from the government. You're allowed to order your free tests.
Take whether advantage or not of you get one, though, is still up in the air.
What's that?
Whether or not you'll get one in a timely manner is still up in the air.
Well, take advantage of it and buy them. I ordered a batch from CVS. They're readily available now. So
So my Walgreens locally was still out of them this last week. So
just go to CVS.com. They'll order them right off the site.
Well, I'll get them.
Okay. Aside from that, TJ, go ahead and then we'll sign off.
You can check out my new show, Extra Rounds, on UFC Fight Pass. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can actually see this camera right now. I got this HD camera. I don't like it, Bruce. It makes me shave a lot more when I do stuff because...
No, you look good. You look more handsome. Come on, your color's good too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You're the first person that's ever said that to me because more often than not, it's like, please go outside and get some sun, TJ.
Blinded by the light.
Sorry. Yes, it's all right. It's all right. But I've noticed I've never really been able to grow a beard, Bruce, but I've started to grow it out a little bit. It you know, comes and goes. But now I hate the idea of having a beard because I've just found out that I'm gray. It's all gray. Like, I hate it.
Welcome to the world. I was just going to tell you one thing, TJ. It starts here, goes down here. That's the way not, life is.
Let's just stop it right there. But check
that's out why God made Manscaped, baby.
That's right. Extra Rounds available for you on UFC Fight Pass. This last weekend, I was live with Ray Longo, and we recapped the card that saw Jan Blachowicz defeat Alexander Rokic in the main event.
There you go. Okay. All right, everybody. I will not be in the octagon this weekend. Joe Martinez will be taking over the announcing duties, and I'm sure he'll do his great job as usual. I'll be watching. I'll have a great time watching the show. We'll be back next week with another guest.
Happy birthday, I am taking this weekend.
Pardon me?
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you before then, so happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're going to be 52 years old. It's crazy.
I'll compare my body to any 30-year-old man walking, but there isn't a rector set going on inside at certain places. Anyway, with all kidding aside, I'm taking the next 3 weeks off from the UFC. I am taking a special weekend for myself for this my birthday weekend. Next week's Memorial. I have a chance to go to Havasu with my buddy Robert. He's got a house up there. Just bought himself a nice little 4-seater private jet. Wants to fly up. That could be fun. But I don't know. Havasu might be a little too much of a craziness for me.
It's rowdy up there.
It's pretty rowdy. Not that I can't play, but that's not really where my head's at these days.
No, I hear you.
And I'm taking a wine country trip. Huh?
Save your energy, too. You got a big international fight week coming up in July.
Oh, man. I got so many shows coming up. It's ridiculous. But Singapore, I'm looking forward to. I am taking, I'll talk about it the week before, but I'm going to taking, already agreed to a beautiful wine country trip up into Santa Ynez up above Santa Barbara here.
Wow. Take photos.
Pardon me?
Take photos. I want to see photos.
Oh, I'll be taking photos like crazy. It's going to be wine tasting in caves and the whole bit. It's a really, it got offered to me as a birthday gift from the people that own it and, you know, beautiful villa, the whole bit. How can I turn that down?
No, of course. Go enjoy. But I want to see photos.
You will. I guarantee you. We'll talk about it the week before, week after. All right. Enough for me. I plan on celebrating my birthday. I believe it's celebrating your birthday a week before to a week after. But quite frankly, I celebrate my birthday 365 days a year when I wake up. You know, just happy to wake up and enjoy this beautiful life. I wish all of you the same out there. So please, everybody, set your goals, write them down. So when you step on that yellow brick road for your future, you are the best you can be. And whether you're first place, second place, 10th, or you're the champion, it means you're winning. And we're all about winning on this show because, as I always say, it's time to win. Buffer out. Have a great week. Love you all. Bye.